Tiger was 10 months old.
I unstrapped him out of his high chair one day, and he walked over and hit the ball.
There it is.
I said, oh, my God, I've got something special.
I think Earl had the master plan since Tiger started walking. He asked me to ask his dad if he could play some other sports. But Mr. Woods said he had to concentrate on his golf.
I wanted to protect that sweetness of him. It was a quality that I loved about him. I could tell he didn't know what was coming.
Tiger was going to be this bridge between all the different races and tribes of humanity.
How are you handling all the adulation?
I honestly don't feel comfortable with that.
Earl taught him the mental toughness to tackle the game of golf.
I'm not sure that Tiger was mentally tough enough to handle the pressures of fame.
If you haven't seen the documentary Tiger, I strongly suggest that you do. You don't have to be a golf fan. You don't even have to be a sports fan, to be honest. I sat there with my partner and watched it, and we were gripped. It was a stunning two-part documentary on the life and times of one of the greatest athletes we've ever seen, Del. It was superb.
Absolutely. It was exactly the same. I had to wait until my wife was ready to come and sit down. It is more than just the golfer. This is now his life, and his life has gone in different ways, including injury. All the things that happened in 2009, 2010, it was enthralling. I loved every second of it.
We're so pleased to welcome the executive producer of the documentary Tiger. Armin Katayan joins us live from Connecticut this morning. Armin, welcome to Summer Breakfast here on SEN, and congratulations. It's an amazing piece of work that you and your team have put together.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to talk to you guys.
Tell us about the process of how it's been received. So we'll talk about the book that you wrote as well, but since the documentary has landed, and part two only landed a couple of days ago, what has the response been from the public?
Well, I think it's been overwhelmingly positive. I think what you were saying is that it's really revealed a side of Tiger that outside of, I think, the most intimate observers in golf really had no idea of the full arc of his life and everything that he had experienced. And so, I mean, the reviews, I think I would say 95% of them have been positive. Typically, you know, Mark Steinberg, who's Tiger's agent, came out right before part one aired and said it was salacious, it was an incomplete portrait, and it was unauthorized. Well, it was unauthorized. It was an incomplete portrait because it's only 3 hours and 15 minutes long. It's not 10 hours long like The Last Dance was with Michael Jordan, but it's anything but salacious. I think the directors, Matt Heineman and Matt Hamacek, just went above and beyond to tell, I think, a very human, very intimate, very revealing, very personal, you know, story for Tiger. So, I mean, we're all thrilled. When you spend, you know, 3 years working on a book, as I did with Jeff Benedict, my co-writer, and then another almost 2 years being a part of the team that put together the documentary. When you actually see it on HBO, you know, I'd seen it privately several times, but to sit in your own living room with your family and friends and watch it, it's a powerful experience. And I'm very, very proud of it. It's one of the, I think, sort of the capstone moments of my career.
Armin, when you combined your research for the book, which you just said was about 3 years, plus 2 years for this documentary, how much did you learn about the Tiger Woods story that you probably didn't know leading into both of those, both the book and the movie?
Oh, I can't even begin to tell you how many things I learned. It's almost like, you know, you with Tiger, you and Jeff and I read, I think, a combined 20 different books, not all of them on Tiger, but I would say the vast majority, either written by his father or by sports writers in America who at various parts of Tiger's life and his career, you know, chronicled what was happening, everything from when he turned pro to his great run in the early 2000s to after the crash. And, you know, we both thought, well, there's nothing left to do, honestly. But the more that we looked, the more we realized that so much of what Tiger was saying was repeated over and over again, and that those books really covered just a very finite period of his life. So there had never been this immersive 360-degree view, this biography that you could really sink your teeth into. So You know, we sort of knew Earl's influence, but we didn't really, I didn't know Earl's background the way I do now. I certainly didn't know his mother, Catilda's background and the enormous influence that they would bring to bear on Tiger and why they would bring that influence. And then what was, I think, the most interesting thing, guys, was during the course of our reporting, because we had 3 years, we could take our time to find people that maybe hadn't been discovered or talked to in the past. And that ran from everything from John Merchant, who had a tremendous influence on Tiger's amateur career, only to be cut out by Tiger, to you know, the woman who rented her house to the Woods family and the clan for years and years and years, and what her experience was, to his high school sweetheart, his first true love. So, yeah, I mean, I think in the end, I kind of fashion myself a Tigerologist at this point in time. You know, I've hung up the amateur psychology shingle at this point in time with the doc over. But, you know, I think I probably know as much about Tiger as I know about any athlete or coach I've ever covered.
Armin, I thought one thing in the documentary that I certainly learned a lot about in the life of Tiger Woods was the relationship with his father. It's a complex one, wasn't it, on so many different levels?
Oh, so that's absolutely right. And at heart, it really is a father-son story. And I think that's the brilliance of it, is you can take Tiger's life and separate it into 1,000 different pieces. But the biggest piece, the one that holds everything together, is his, and really drives the entire documentary, is this very complicated relationship with his father. In many ways, Earl was a genius in how he shaped Tiger's love of golf, his vision of what he sees on a golf course, his love of practice. But Earl brought an entirely different set of issues to the table. I mean, everything from the racism that he experienced and the discrimination that he experienced, not only in college, but in the military, his infidelities, his rampant infidelities with his wife and what that did to his marriage, and his just distrust of others outside the absolute inner circle, which would be Earl and Tita. So I think what makes the documentary so compelling is that you have Earl at the beginning talking about what his vision of Tiger would be. And we all know that the chosen one, and, you know, he was going to have a life bigger than Gandhi or Buddha. And at the end, Dakota, you know, the bookending of the doc, where he's now talking about Tiger, you know, again. But it's a different Tiger at that point in time. And he's gone through this enormous Shakespearean life to that point, the rise, the fall, the return, the epic comeback, the unprecedented fall from grace. So they simplified it. And I think the best stories are the ones that that carry that kind of weight to them, but then are encapsulated or encirculated by all the other things that you saw in the doc.
And with so many to-camera pieces, from everything from childhood sweethearts all the way through to Steve Williams, Tiger Woods' ex-caddy now, was there always a consistent messaging with their stories, or did you feel like there was contradictions along the way that you had to therefore go and do some more research to probably find the real truth?
I think there's a bit of both of that. I think, you know, Stevie Williams, who I have great respect for, has some moments in the doc that are just so profoundly human. When he's talking about the 13 years he spent with Tiger and how he was summarily cut out of Tiger's life at the end. And that's reminiscent of many, many people, that when you outuse your usefulness to Team Tiger, you're excommunicated from the church. There's no coming back. And that cold-bloodedness that Tiger displayed on the golf course certainly is a part of his personal life as well. So, yes, and in answer to the question about, you know, double-checking and triple-checking things, I can't tell you how much time I spent, and I wrote, Jeff and I switched off on writing the chapters, and I wrote the Vegas chapter, which is, you know, you've got to be extremely careful when you're talking about infidelities and you know, personal lifestyles and things like that. So I spent a great deal of time checking and cross-checking and fact-checking all of the parts of that. And then the one chapter that has to do with the question of did Tiger or did Tiger not use performance-enhancing drugs? If you talk about a third rail with Team Tiger, that's it. You make a mistake in that department, you're looking at a lawsuit. And I'm very proud of the work. You know, you guys probably know I've been an investigative reporter of some note in the States for going on almost 30 years, dating back to my days at Sports Illustrated. And, you know, those kinds of things are not for the faint of heart. It's very high wire journalism. And so you have to be absolutely right, and you have to be able to defend everything that you say in a court of law. So, you know, it's a bit of both. That's, you know, this book and this doc primarily is the culmination of between Jeff and I. We've written 25 nonfiction books, and Tiger took every bit of the skill that we have as journalists to get it into the position where what you were reading on the printed page, every single word could be defended. And it was the same way with the doc. I mean, no question that, you know, you're dealing with people on the other side, and rightly so. It's a man's reputation. That if you're not absolutely correct, you're really looking at the wrong end of a libel suit.
Armin, for me, Tiger Woods was a childhood hero, and I've read books and tried to watch everything, you know, whenever he's on TV and documentaries and everything that goes with Tiger. And maybe for the first time for me, watching your two-part doco, I had a different opinion on him. I felt a little bit sorry for him at different stages. Did your opinion of Tiger change? And have you had a feel from the general public that they might look at Tiger a little bit differently off the back of seeing 3.5 hours of his life?
No question. I just was talking to somebody today, and he used two words. The third word would be sorry. He used two words, empathetic and sympathetic, that he came away with from watching the doc. And honestly, that's what we were hoping that you would get from the book, an empathy and a sympathy for Tiger Woods, understanding the full weight of what it means to have been him and to carry the burdens that he carried and to deal with the extreme fame and fortune that he was dealing with. And, you know, it's easy for us sometimes, guys, to say, oh, I would have done this or that. And the one thing Jeff and I did, we just did not moralize, because I can't even imagine in my wildest dreams what it's like to be Tiger Woods for one day. And I think in terms of sorry or empathetic, sympathetic, yes. I mean, I felt that way, and I feel that way now. I'm very much of a Tiger Woods fan in terms of the humanity that he now brings to bear in public life, which was hidden for so long, or maybe it wasn't even there. I think in the machine, Tiger, for the longest time, didn't know how to be human and interact in a human fashion. So, yes, I think what we're witnessing now, even though I'm sure you've seen the news that he just had his fifth microdiscectomy back surgery, and, you know, the jury's still out as to when he might return. And I have to say, you know, I know whether you're asked about it or not, you know, the whole Rachel Yucatel thing in this, to me, was very humanizing, because Rachel was depicted as, you know, she uses the word, you know, the whore, the mistress who broke up Tiger's marriage. And I think, to me, one of the most powerful moments in the film is when she's talking about her relationship with Tiger and how, you know, he would want to plug into her, and what he said to her when he finally called her after not speaking to her after he hit the fire hydrant, which was, you know, get as much money from me as you possibly can. And that's, you know, whether that was Tiger's way of saying, I love you or I care about you, it was certainly a really, really powerful moment in the doc.
Armin, congratulations. We're so pleased that you could join us this morning. We thank you so much for your time. And it is a brilliant piece of work that you and your team have put together. So thanks for sharing your views with us today. Well,
I'm very, very happy to be on. I would love to come to your country sometime. It's one of my favorite faraway places in the world. So thank you for asking me to come on.
Absolute pleasure. Armin Katayan joining us, the executive producer of Tiger from Connecticut this morning. Del?
Good summary, wasn't it? It's an incredible documentary. And as Armin was going through those moments, I was like, that's right. And then the emotion that it brings up. And for me, childhood hero. You know, I didn't read many books, as I touched on before, as a kid, outside of what you had to read at school. But Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan were given to me as Christmas presents, and I sat there and I read them because I was enthralled in the story. And clearly, as a youngster, you don't understand the whole story about what was going on off the course. And I think that was 2009, off the back of an Australian Open here in Melbourne, that it all sort of started to become evident about what was going on. But his story is riveting. But it's the fascination about the mystique of Tiger Woods, because we know very little about him until such docos come out. You touched on it off the top, Jack. It is worth a watch. Whether you love sport, whether you love or hate Tiger Woods, it is worth a watch. And a particular time, so hard to relate to. As Armin said, we always say, I'd love to be so-and-so. I'd love to be Tiger Woods for a day. Michael Jordan said it similar in his documentary. Don't be me for a day. Try it for a week. Try it for a year. Try it forever. The gloss wears off very quickly when you're doing it every day of your life.
One thing that I thought out of it is that they didn't go tabloid with the Rachel Yucatel and other.
Yep.
They tried to put as much of the information out there as they could, but they didn't bury Tiger in the process. The other thing is, when he was at his lowest, and there was the driving under the influence incident and whatnot.
Yep.
I watched that and thought to myself, from where he was at that stage in his life to where he is now, we're probably lucky that we can still talk about him in this way, because he was headed down a path that was no good for a period of time.
Without ruining the whole story, but people will hopefully know this part. Has the back surgeries, considers quitting the game, comes back and wins the Masters, but as was just touched on then as well, and it's probably evident or prevalent for us to say, has had his fifth back surgery in the last couple of days. So he'll be out of action for a short period of time as well.